Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With the 14th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Javon Kinlaw, defensive tackle, South Carolina.
Javon Kinlaw, defensive lineman, South Carolina. At 6'5 and 324 pounds, Kinlaw is an intimidating presence. He recorded 10.5 sacks the last two seasons and earned All-American honors in 2019.
Quite the journey for Javon Kinlaw, from homeless to a hero. That's what the best way to describe him, because he had a tough upbringing. Moved from Trinidad and Tobago in 1995 to start a new life in D.C. area. And now a first-round pick of the National Football League draft to the San Francisco 49ers to reinforce that defense after moving on from a couple of key pieces to their Super Bowl team. Jeff Joniak back with you here on The Score in our draft coverage. Sponsored by Hyundai, with David Haw, Dan Pompey, Hub Arkish, and Tom Thayer. Let's start with Hub on Kinlaw to the 49ers after their one-step-down move with Tampa Bay.
Well, some interesting things here, guys. This kid's an absolute manimal. He's 6'5", 315. He's a freak of an athlete for a guy that size. He did not run at the combine, but I'm told that he runs consistently sub-5 flat in the 40-yard dash. We had him as the 13th player on our board. He goes at 14, so a perfect fit. What's intriguing to me about this is that, regardless of what you ever want to hear, in 2017, the 49ers were drafting Solomon Thomas at 2 or 3. It didn't matter to them. Solomon Thomas is a bigger bust than Mitch Trubisky. They just traded DeForest Buckner to Indianapolis, theoretically, because of the depth they have on the line, and now they go use this pick. The other thing that's really interesting here, guys, the wide receiver group is so deep that what we're now learning is that even if there's a run on these guys, teams know that they're going to get first-round talent in the second round, and I think that's why these wide receivers are falling the way they
are. With
the
15th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Denver Broncos select Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver, Alabama.
Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver, Alabama. The All-American caught 145 passes and 24 touchdowns the last two seasons.
One of the best ever at wide receiver for the Crimson Tide, Jerry Jeudy.
Jeudy looks to continue an Alabama tradition of wide receivers that includes Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, and Amari Cooper.
Cough Award winner, an incredible sophomore season with 14 touchdowns, and then followed it up with 10 more in 2019. We'll start with Tom Thayer, because this is one of your favorite players in the draft. You've been talking about Jerry Jeudy for a while. You think he's overall talent, good speed, big vertical, explosiveness, a five-star recruit, and a number three receiver in the nation, now a member of the Denver Broncos for a young quarterback in Drew Lock.
You know, and you, when you have a head coach that's defensive central, he knows the best thing to beat a good defense is a good multiple level wide receiver that can run multiple routes. That's the one thing about Jeudy. I don't think he's going to be a one-dimensional lineup in one spot wide receiver. I think he's going to be able to move around the field, and he's going to take advantage of some of the secondary coverage that he's going to get from the defenses he faced. But I think that Vic Fangio realized that if he was going to be able to explode his defense from the line of scrimmage, he was going to have to get a more explosive offense from their line of scrimmage.
Dan Pompey, check in on Jerry Jeudy, a guy that just destroyed Hub's Michigan team in the Citrus Bowl with a 204-yard, 6-catch, 34-yard average performance in the Citrus Bowl.
I think, Jeff, the two things that stand out about him are his ability to run routes exceptionally well and his speed. You combine those two things, and usually you get a pretty good wide receiver. The other thing I really like about this pick is you look at now the players who the Broncos are surrounding Drew Lock with. You know, they signed Melvin Gordon this offseason to go along with Philip Lindsay, another pretty good running back. They drafted Noah Fant last year, and now you've got Jerry Jeudy added to a position that was a little thin, the wide receiver position. So, you know, it's starting to look like a good young core on offense for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, to pair with Cortland Sutton there, David Haw, a very good receiver that I always had a feeling of positivity about, big, thick receiver. So you pair him up with Cortland Sutton.
No doubt about it. And you also have Pat Shurmur designing that defense and calling those plays. And you have Gordon, you have Jeudy, you have Drew Lock. You've got a young nucleus offensively that you feel pretty good about with the Broncos because you trust their defense and Vic Fangio to come through. So this is a nice little foundational piece for the Broncos. Very surprised that the midway through the first round, you have a player this skilled and this ready to go, I think, in Jeudy. And I don't want to say it was a no-brainer because there were a lot of different ways they could have gone. But somebody who can help immediately like he can in your passing game, you could not pass him up.
Now, Marcus, the Atlanta Falcons on the clock next. So two receivers from Alabama in the last four picks, and only two in the first round so far. The NFL draft, one deal, the 49ers deal down one spot with Tampa Bay, and they go ahead and take Tristan Wirfs. Tampa does, and the 49ers take Javon Kinlaw. So Atlanta was a team that was chirping about moving up. They dangled something to Ron Rivera's Washington Redskins, we're told, earlier in the day or earlier in the week. What do you suspect here with Atlanta?
Well, just real quick on Jeudy, it's interesting. When we talk to scouts and GMs, one of the things you always are looking for is comps. And one of the names I heard regularly from people talking about Jeudy was a Demaryius Thomas in his prime. Very similar body type, very similar style of play. And so it's a nice fit in Denver. Atlanta was trying to get up to two to get Chase Young. They're desperate for more pass rush. They're desperate for help on the defense. Obviously, Young is the one clear premier pass rusher in this draft. We've got Clavon Chasen at number 20 on our board. You're sitting here at number 16. Yetur Gross-Matos, we've got at 16. This is the 16th pick. He was our second-best edge rusher. So those are a couple names I would keep in mind. They need linebacker help, too. As good as those young linebackers were in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, they've been injured and banged up. You know, Kenneth Murray is sitting there. Patrick Queen is sitting there. I think this is clearly defense, and you've got still, you know, five or six of the top eight defensive players in the draft on the board.
Tom Thayer, how about some still offensive line play is consideration here for the Falcons in the trenches, having some issues over the years. They have had some issues. They had two first-round picks last year, Caleb McGarry, a right tackle, and Chris Lindstrom, the right guard, to protect Matt Ryan. But anything in the trenches in the first round of the draft is also something that you're thinking about doing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think Atlanta's fortunate right now that they can go anywhere along the offensive line. If they find that they have an offensive guard in there that can be that new power, you know, that power grader in the middle of their offense, trying to open up a little bit more running room, take a little bit of pressure off of Matt Ryan, give him a little bit of protection, I think that'd be a way to go. But, you know, I do think, you know, they have some needs on defense that need to be addressed. But again, if you're confident that there's a guy out there that's going to, you know, have a jersey and line up with the first team day one, it's hard to pass up because, you know, with all, as much as we thought the receivers would go early, it's maybe these teams are thinking that there's so many receivers that they can go for a different pick and get that, you know, that receiver in the second or third round that has, you know, is talented enough to make a name for himself.
Draft coverage on The Score brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Make sure you tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score from radio.com. And you can text us at 670-11 and socially interact at 670 The Score on Twitter. Thanks again to Sean Anderson, Mike Rankin, and Shane Reardon. Everything is going great as we bring you the NFL Draft Round 1 in the most unique of circumstances, David Haw.
Can I just go back to what John Lynch did in this draft, in this first round? I mean, goodness sakes, he moves back one spot, gets a fourth-round draft pick to do so, and then drafts a defensive tackle that some people believe might have the highest ceiling of the defensive lineman in the first round, and he replaces Buckner, who he traded to the Colts. this was a great move and a shrewd offseason, and the 49ers just keep on reloading. You move back a spot, and you get a fourth rounder and Kinlaw. That was tremendous for them.
Yep.
Well, and then just to echo that, Dave, you might wonder, well, you just traded one of the best interior linemen in the league, and you got this pick for it. Why take another interior lineman? Because you got a guy with a similar ceiling who's now going to be on a rookie contract for the next 4 years, and they moved Buckner because he was going to cost him $20 million a year.
I'm sort of similar to what Bill Belichick did a couple of years ago when he got rid of Richard Seymour before he was going to get a contract, shipped him out to the Raiders, and then he made a couple defensive picks after that. So, I think it's a little of that gamesmanship by the hierarchy to making sure they get rid of a big contract coming up and get another tackle in this place.
With the 16th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select A.J. Terrell, defensive back, Clemson.
A.J. Terrell, cornerback, Clemson. The first-team All-ACC corner was a two-year starter for the Tigers' defense. At 6'1 and 195, he posted 6 career interceptions in college.
All right, A.J. Terrell out of Atlanta, Georgia, will play in his hometown. The Falcons taking the Clemson DB. Big explosive numbers, and did struggle in the national title game. LSU's Jamar Chase, who is arguably maybe the best receiver in college football, also in that LSU team, gave him quite the challenge. But pick 6 in the national title game in 2018 against Alabama. We'll review the pick after we take a break. Stick with us. The 2020 draft rolls on here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Team pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Dallas Cowboys select C.D. Lamb, wide receiver, Oklahoma.
C.D. Lamb, wide receiver, Oklahoma. The Sooner star hauled in 14 touchdowns and 1,327 yards last season, earning his place as an All-American.
C.D. Lamb still running. Hits a corner. C.D. for the TD.
Lamb brings big play potential to the NFL.
26 touchdowns in his last 27 games. C.D. Lamb of Oklahoma, a Dallas Cowboy for Jerry Jones and company, the third receiver taken in the first 17 picks of the NFL draft. Version 2020. Jeff Joniak along with Tom Thayer, Hub Arkish, David Haw, and Dan Pompey breaking it all down for you. Our coverage on The Score brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And C.D. Lamb, fellas, I watched a lot of Big 12 football, so he caught my attention quite often. Dangerous after the catch with elite acceleration, make you miss, all of it on the pile there. Working with great quarterbacks all the way through from Baker to Kyler and to Jalen Hurts this past year and now to Dak Prescott. Let's start with Hub Arkish.
Well, you know, it's funny, guys. I never thought Lamb would last this long, but we were talking during the break. Once we knew he was there and the Cowboys were on the board, this was the most predictable pick of the night. You can go all the way back to when T.O. first got to Dallas. They've had a star, and they've been looking for a compliment to him. And now, you know, you've got Amari Cooper, who is an outstanding receiver, but really more of a possession guy, and they needed somebody to take the pressure off him. I think the Cowboys need defense a lot more than they need offense right now, but this takes the pressure off Amari Cooper. It takes the pressure off Zeke Elliott. It takes the pressure off Dak Prescott. And with a new offensive-minded head coach in Mike McCarthy, this is the perfect complement for what Dallas was looking to continue to be explosive on that side of the ball.
David Haw.
Jerry Jones could have had a house full of people like usual in the war room, and there would have been a consensus that this was a no-brainer pick for the Cowboys. It's splashy. He's productive. He will fit in right away. He's going to be playing for a coach in Mike McCarthy that is going to put him in the right positions to succeed. Dak Prescott is going to love throwing to him. There's a balanced offense. The running game's going to complement the passing game. And, yeah, this was a no-brainer. I'm surprised. I'm only surprised that he was still on the board because there were some mock drafts where he would have been the first or second receiver taken. He wasn't still there for the Cowboys. Smart pick.
Dan Pompey.
Yeah, all of the front office people who I spoke with had Lamb as the number one receiver in the draft ahead of the two guys who were picked ahead of him, Judy and Ruggs. So, I think this is a really good value pick, in addition to a pick that meets a need for the Cowboys. He'll be a perfect fit. You know, the Cowboys always love players with star potential, right? Guys who could sell the star, sell the brand. And This guy certainly has the potential to do that. He's big, he's fast, he's physical, he's accomplished, three-year starter. Nothing not to like, really. The only other thing I could tell you is, you know, they really could have used some pass rush, I thought, in this draft, given what has transpired there this offseason. And there's a really good pass rusher sitting there. And those pass rushers usually do not last this long. I'm talking about Chaisson from LSU.
And Tom, with a new head coach down in Dallas, and Mike McCarthy taking some of his offseason to recalibrate, so to speak. And now he's got a lot of weapons to work with in Dallas. They still have Michael Gallup. Of course, they paid $100 million for Amari Cooper.
Well, you know what? I think it's the big picture thinking of Mike McCarthy. He's trying to think in kind of away from Jerry Jones, because Mike McCarthy knows what you need in order for an offense to run on all cylinders. And so this is a compliment to both Dak and Zeke. And you think about what a wide receiver that is this talented, that's going to make the safeties get off the line of scrimmage. It's going to take those 8 and 9 man fronts away from Zeke Elliott. And now if he starts seeing consistent 7 man fronts with Mike McCarthy, your pass protection is going to get better. You're going to be more threatening downfield. It's going to open up run lanes for Zeke Elliott. So I do think that it's not Belichick thinking defense, it's McCarthy thinking offense, and that's what he's trying to develop. But again, you guys talk about defensive line, and I think one of the biggest losses in the offseason this year is Rod Marinelli. He brings a super seriousness to the approach of some defensive linemen that sometimes you got to pull the work out of them. So Marinelli gone is a big loss, but McCarthy thinking offense, I think it's the direction Dallas is going to go.
And Hub Arkish, overall, 10 offensive players, 7 defense to the first 17 selections, 4 Alabama guys going the first 15, including Tua Tagovailoa to the Miami Dolphins, number 5 of the Dolphins on the clock after the Minkah Fitzpatrick deal that he went to Pittsburgh during the season. One that's been roundly criticized, that trade overall, for a lot of different reasons. But what are you thinking here with Miami, the second of their 14 selections they have in this year's draft?
Well, and the second of their 3 first-round picks. You know, I think that they absolutely, with the commitment to Tua, have got to focus on that offensive line after dealing, their big offensive tackle to Houston last year. But one of the things that's been very predictable here is the top 4 offensive tackles are already off the board. And while there's still 6 or 7 really good ones, there was a clear break after the first 4. Now, I've got Austin Jackson next out of USC. I think that may be a little rich, here with the 18th pick. Xavier McKinney, the safety out of Alabama. We know how good Alabama safeties are. It's another position that I'm sure Brian Flores would like to address. We got to remember that Brian Flores, he became a head coach by being a defensive guy. And because of the imbalance in the picks so far, a lot of good defensive players out there. I could see Patrick Queen. One other thought, though, DeAndre Swift is the best running back on the board. I think there's some consensus about that. This would be a pretty good fit. Actually, we've got him ranked 18th in our top 100. And, you know, they're not bad at wide receiver. They are very thin at running back. So if he does go offense, either, you know, a tackle or DeAndre Swift, but I'm looking for a defensive player here. Maybe Xavier McKinney, maybe Patrick Queen.
Jordan Howard, of course, down in Miami now to help things out in the running game. And I love J.K. Dobbins. I mean, he's a guy that, first of all, in addition to the football, just a high character, impressive guy. Talking with a couple of running backs coaches in the league, very high on him. And then who doesn't love a little Jonathan Taylor? Oh, my goodness. David Haw. Bobbing his head here on Zoom with us that you can't see as listeners, but only the third back to 5,000 yards in his first 3 years, and he did it in his 34th college football game up there at Wisconsin. And another high-character, impressive guy.
Great vision, can come out of the backfield, show better hands than he needed at Wisconsin because he was too busy chewing up defensive lines. I really like everything about Jonathan Taylor on and off the field. I don't think he's a fit here for the Dolphins. I don't think they go that direction. I think it will be a defensive player. I'm with Hub. I think Chaisson's still there as an edge rusher. There's some other really good defensive players on the board. Maybe they go wide out to give Tua somebody to throw to, a target to grow with. But if you're talking about the first running back off the board, Yeah, I could see the other ones making sense, Dobbins and Swift, but I really like Jonathan Taylor wherever he goes, whether it's the end of the first round or beginning of the second.
That could happen at round at pick 26, right, Dan Pompey? There's still plenty to work with the Dolphins, or maybe somebody comes up. Where are all the trades? There's only been one. We were promised so much more excitement and drama. Isn't exciting, but.
Yeah, funny how that works sometimes. Maybe they'll still.
In the 2020 NFL draft, the Miami Dolphins select Austin Jackson, tackle, USC.
Austin Jackson, tackle, USC. The 6'5", 322-pound prospect was an All-Pac-12 selection last season. His grandfather, Melvin Jackson, played guard for the Packers in the late 70s.
All right, we got to go to Hub because he mentioned Austin Jackson out of USC, a humble guy, hardworking player. And he played left tackle. They have a left tackle in Miami in Julian Davenport by way of trade with Houston, but their right tackle is an undrafted free agent, Jesse Davis. Maybe a move there, but again, helping out Tua as a left-handed quarterback down the road.
Well, the reason I match him is I've been much higher on him than a lot of people I've talked to. He's a kid I really love. One of the things that has held his ranking down a little bit is he hasn't played a lot of big-time football. He's only played a couple of years at USC. He was very late to the game. He's got a huge ceiling and a lot of room to get there. He is going to need some coaching. He's got the feet and the athletic ability to play on the left side, but actually a lot of the guys I talked to said look for him to start on the right side and then move over to the left side, maybe year three, year four, something like that. So I love the pick because I'm really high on this kid, but I think a lot of the analysts will tell you this may be a little rich at 18.
Massive size, big time, almost 6'5", 34 and an eighth an inch arms, and big hands, big wingspan.
I like him. I like his attitude. I like the fact that he's willing to switch positions if he needs to. They had a lot of quarterback controversy over his time at USC, so you never had consistency there. And that's really challenging to an offensive tackle. When your opponent knows that you're having some quarterback hiccups, it's a lot easier to attack certain positions. He held his own. He's a good athlete. And for some reason, I like USC offensive linemen that do go to the NFL. They're good athletes. They have good work ethic, and some of them are better at the NFL level than they were at college because they have so many ups and downs throughout their time there. So I like the pick of Austin Jackson. I like where he could go moving forward. You know, the big guy, 6'5", 320, and he's got the athleticism to play where they'll need him the most. And when you draft a left-handed quarterback with your first pick, you know, having that security blanket is a confidence builder.
Dan Pompey, what do you hear about Austin Jackson?
Well, you know, I think the tape on him was a little inconsistent. He gave up 2.5 sacks in the bowl game to Espinosa, Iowa. Started the season a little shaky, but he had some unusual circumstances there. He had donated bone marrow to his sister in the summer and just jumped right back in at the start of the season. So I think people kind of gave him a little bit of a pass on that. Other thing that's interesting about this kid, he's only 20 years old. So he's going to be one of the youngest players in this draft. And I think the key with him is there's room for growth with him. You're betting on the come. One guy told me he thought if he stayed in school another season, he would have been a top 10 pick next year.
By the way, staying with the offensive line, I'm seeing here on Twitter from Joe Thomas said it would be my greatest pleasure, as Kevin Stefanski's already told everybody that Jedrick Wills will be making the switch to left tackle in Cleveland, and Joe Thomas is going to help out that process. So he's working media, and he's going to be being a resource for the Cleveland Browns' next left tackle.
It's a path that Tom Thayer should consider following, maybe volunteering his services to help a young right guard on the Chicago Bears next year.
Yeah, we won when I was here.
You always have that in your hip pocket, Tom. That is one benefit to winning a Super Bowl. You can always throw that card down to the table. The Vegas Raiders have the pick in. They've already selected
second selection.
Number two.
Make a special announcement. As you may know, we are scheduled to host a draft in Vegas this year. And we thank so many for the effort they put forth to prepare that possibility. And we think you deserve another shot. So we're happy here to announce that tonight, the Las Vegas Raiders will host the 2020 NFL Draft. Congratulations to Mark Davis, the Raiders organization, and Raiders Nation. We look forward to being there in Las Vegas, and congratulations. And now, with the 19th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Las Vegas Raiders select Damon Arnett, defensive back, Ohio State.
All right, Damon Arnett, one of the tandem with Jeff Okuda, both go in the top 19 of the draft. This was the pick the Raiders received in the Khalil Mack trade, and the Bears on their Twitter feed right now, just simple highlights of Khalil Mack, 50 deuce, and we're just going to leave this right here for everybody to enjoy. That was the Bears' pick to the Vegas Raiders. Arnett, I like Arnett as well at cornerback. He's a tough-minded guy. Obviously, Okuda is considered the more talented version, but another defensive back, another cornerback coming off here in the draft. This is the fourth one. A.J. Terrell went to the Atlanta Falcons at number 16, and Arnett at number 19. Habarkish, tell us more about Arnett.
You know, this is what Mike Mayock is going to do. Damon Arnett is a very good football player, and I think that he probably is going to have a really good NFL career. But I've got four or five cornerbacks, and our rankings in large part are consensus of talking to as many GMs and scouts as we can. And I still see four or five other corners on the board ahead of him. I was talking earlier about the Clevin McClellan pick last year at number four, and now he comes up and gets Ruggs so high. And so we'll see how this works out. I am not the John Gruden fan that some people are. I like him. I got nothing against him. I think he's very entertaining. I don't know that he's a great football coach. Mike Mayock is as good as hard a worker and as good a grinder as you're ever going to find, but he doesn't have a long enough track record now to know what kind of evaluator he is. And I find this to be quite a reach at number 19.
Dan Pompey?
Yeah, I would echo what Hub said. I'm kind of stunned at the pick. The people I talked with, no one thought he was going before the mid to late second round, maybe even third round. So I think this is the most surprising pick of the first round so far. You know, didn't have a great combine. He's not usually cornerbacks are drafted, certainly when they're drafted higher than a lot of people thought they would be drafted. It's usually because of their workout, their measurables. That's not the case with this kid. It's also, some have questioned him a little bit for his football character, how he fits in the locker room, that sort of thing. So really, really interesting pick. It's going to be fun to watch how he develops with the Raiders.
Tom Thayer.
Well, you know, there are some projections that he could play a nickel, a fifth defensive back. And I think nowadays, if you're trying to identify that guy that can man that position, that can hold down those multiple receiver sets, maybe that's a trait that they see in him. Take him off a boundary and put him a little bit more on the inside. See if he has the athleticism to go and compete in that. Because it seems like whether, you know, you're talking about a guy like they drafted in Bryce Callahan, or they went and signed as a free agent in Buster Screen. That seems to be a position that needs to be identified as much as a starting cornerback on the edge. So maybe they picked him to come and fit there.
David Hall?
Yeah, that too.
He plays with a cast on his hand, and he played through some pain and injury, and you like that about him. He supported the run. Not a guy you envision on the outside. I am, too, a little bit surprised by this. When you're researching the Bears corners, who they might take at 43 and 50, he was a guy that you wondered if they would reach for him there. And here he is going at this spot in the first round. I agree this is the most surprising, eyebrow-raising pick of the first round.
Dan, another point to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to add quickly to Tom's point. I also was told he's the best nickel corner in the draft, and a guy who tackles really well. So, you know, for that role, he's going to be really good. And, of course, that role anymore is most of the time, 80% of the time you're playing that guy.
Yep, played a press man scheme, nickel reps. And he is now a member of the Vegas Raiders with Jacksonville. Coming up next at number 20, we're going to step away, take a quick break. Stick with us. This is the NFL Draft coverage on the Score, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Let's stop here and get right back to it on 670 The Score.
This is 670 The Score's coverage of the first round of the 2020 NFL Draft. Draft coverage on The Score is brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers.
All right, back with you here on The Score. The Jacksonville Jaguars got themselves a defensive lineman here. Kalyvon Chaisson, their selection. The widely regarded fellas, the second best edge guy in terms of defensive lineman, 6'3", 255 out of LSU, a redshirt sophomore, did not work out of the combine. Here's the official announcement.
With the 20th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Kalyvon Chaisson, linebacker, LSU.
Kalyvon Chaisson, edge rusher, LSU. The 6'3", 254-pound pass rusher recorded 6.5 sacks as part of the Tigers' title team. Chaisson wore number 18 at LSU, which is awarded to a high-character leader on the team.
All right, Chaisson's kind of an interesting cat, guys. I love his quote from the combine. He says, I speak three languages. I do pass rush, I can drop in coverage, and I cover anybody you want me to cover, and I can play the run. So very, very confident guy who says no offensive lineman, Tom Thayer, has just ever moved me off the ball or bullied me. I love the confidence. He's a very good player.
He reminds me with the confidence that Richard Dent used to walk around with. He would believe that he could do all those things asked of him. And then when we would go in demonstration squad, there's times that he would play out at the cornerback position to get his feet wet covering wide receiver. So I would rather have a guy that's unrealistically confident than a guy that's still trying to figure out if he has the ability or the work ethic to play at this level. So I like his size. I like his confidence. I like what he offers. You know, he's played a lot in a two-point stance, and you got to see if he converts to a three-point stance as well.
Barkish, they marry C.J. Henderson at corner with a pass rusher and Kalyvon Chaisson in Jacksonville. Again, trying to reload what they dumped.
Well, yeah, but I think here part of what Chris just told us, Chris Emma with his preview, the high-character kid, with David Caldwell back in charge now, with Tom Coughlin gone, that locker room in Jacksonville was an absolute disaster last year. That's why Jalen Ramsey was moved, as well as a few other players. And so here you're getting an excellent football player who comes in with leadership abilities. We have him ranked as number 20 in our top 100. He's the 20th pick off the board, so obviously I think it's a really good fit, and he fills a need, and I think it's a pretty good pick for the Jaguars.
Dan Pompey?
It would not have surprised me if this kid had gone as high as top 10. He's got that kind of ability, and he plays a premium position, you know, had a really good year. You would have liked to have seen him have a little more production over time, you know, but he had the ACL in 2018 and missed most of the season, so you know, maybe not as big a body of work as some guys, but another young player, only 20 years old. So I think he's a guy with a lot of good football, a lot of improvement ahead of him.
Yeah, David Haw, he did get quizzed quite a bit about sacks at the combine by the media. He did have 4.5 late in the season, so that's when he started to rise a little bit. Gil Brandt, the venerable one and the guy who's been around a long time, was quoted, or he wrote in the last week or so, he thinks he's better than Danielle Hunter, also coming out of the SEC, and he gave that comp, but a better version of that, the defensive MVP of the college football semifinal this year.
Yeah, you wonder if he's one of these guys you look at the athleticism and you become enamored with that, but the production has to come with the sacks. I think it will. He has a swagger because he delivered against a high-level competition in the SEC that was a very dangerous LSU defense, and he is one of these guys that I thought was going to go a little bit higher. He comes off the edge. The comps on, you talk to some people, are really accomplished pass rushers, and you look what the Jaguars are trying to do, and they are kind of redrafting mistakes or guys that they let get away. But they won with defense. They won with emphasizing defense, and it makes a lot of sense that they're going this direction in the first round of tonight's draft.
And up next will be the Philadelphia Eagles. They've got the 21st pick in the draft. There was all sorts of conversation that they really want to get a wide receiver. I don't know what the future of Alshon Jeffrey is there in Philadelphia, but there is a need for a receiver, and receivers, obviously, some really good ones still on the board after just three taken so far in the first 20 picks of the draft. Hubarkish, what is a good fit here for Philadelphia and their offense for Carson Wentz?
You know, Jeff, I think Justin Jefferson is predictable here as you had C.D. Lamb with Dallas. You know it's what the Eagles want. I'm looking at my list. I mean, we'd be having a really good night if it wasn't for the Raiders. We've got Justin Jefferson, the 21st prospect in the draft. This is the 21st pick. It is clearly, I don't say that what the Eagles have to do, but it certainly seems what they're most likely to do. And I will be very surprised if it's not Justin Jefferson. If it's not, I still think it's a wide receiver. Got Laviska Shenault next, and a bunch of wide receivers. T. Higgins would look really good. So I think a wide out, probably Justin Jefferson. But if not, whoever they have next best wide out on their board.
NFL.com/relief to contribute to those most in need. And we thank you again for your support. With the 21st pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select Jalen Reagor, wide receiver, TCU.
All right, Jalen Reagor from TCU, the choice by Roger Goodell, as the TCU product has a lot of speed to his game, 4.47, a second team, all Big 12 as a return specialist as well. At times, he likes to think of himself as a little Tyreek Hill, pulls off the peace sign on long touchdown runs, and he's had plenty of those. He had a 73-yard punt return. Home run potential, fellas. We'll start with Dan Pompey on Jalen Reagor, a very high, prominent prospect in this college football draft.
Little surprised, Jeff, that he went ahead of a couple of the other guys that Hub just mentioned, Justin Jefferson and T. Higgins. Doesn't have the size that some of these other guys have. He is probably the best punt returner in the draft, so he gives you another dimension there. And he's some people think he's more of a slot guy than a guy who's going to be a really effective outside player. I'm sure the Eagles are seeing it differently because they probably wouldn't have taken him at this point. I thought that he probably was going to go high in the second round. So it's an interesting pick for Philadelphia.
David, I think we're finding out about, again, I made this point just a little while ago, pick your flavor. This is Baskin-Robbins for wide receivers here in 2020.
Yes, and I think that you're finding the taste of maybe the offensive coordinators or the head coach in the case of the Eagles, Doug Peterson. Maybe he likes Reagor more than the other guys rated by evaluators ahead of him by a lot of people. But if I'm waking up on Friday morning in Philadelphia Sports Talk Radio, I am wondering what the heck they're thinking here. I am wondering a little bit about why they passed on more accomplished guys or more NFL-ready guys ahead on most boards. But at the same time, I say that out loud, and then I think Doug Peterson has earned the benefit of the doubt. He knows what he's looking for. He knows what he likes. So I guess you have to trust him in this case, even though I'm a little bit surprised, because this was a guy you could have envisioned the Bears at 43, taking a flyer or drafting him even at 50. I saw some mocks projected him to go there.
Well, Howie Roseman, Tom Thayer, is a guy who has strong convictions as well, and he's not afraid to pull the trigger on what he believes in, and he's proven that over the years.
Yeah, but when you talk about the uncertainty about Alshon Jeffrey and his future in Philly, I'd rather go after a guy like Michael Pittman. Here's a guy that had 101 catches last year and can move all around the field. So you're talking about two different types of receivers, speed and less size or size. And it seemed to me that Doug Peterson is a guy that always needed that big, lengthy receiver that could help Carson Wentz out, that can catch that 50-50 ball. So I don't know. This is probably like the one of the first picks that I'm not as excited about, because I thought there was better players in front of Reagor, and I think there's a couple better players behind him.
Real quick on Reagor.
Yeah, I'm not a big Jalen Reagor fan. We had him at 46, and I was actually a little worried that at 43, he could be the best one available to the Bears. It's a kid who had a huge 2018 season and did not play up to it anywhere nearly last year. Now, he did have a freshman quarterback come in, and so that was part of the issue. But at 5'11", 206, he's an interesting body type. He only ran 4.47 at the combine, you know, which is obviously a very nice time, but it's not special for wide receivers. And I think it was Danny who was saying, I completely agree with him. You're probably talking about a slot guy here who is usually your number three, and I think that's about what he is in the NFL. And so to draft him at 21, that's a little surprising to me.
I'll just say this, though. With a guy like this, you know, you can use on slants, shallows, and then he's explosive. He is explosive. He's got good hands, jet sweeps, whatever. This is a home run hitter at the same time. That 4.47 speed is right. You know, it's not necessarily the 4.2, 4.3, but, you know, if you can get something short for a guy to take it to the house, something I'm also thinking that might work for the Bears in that way, and that's why maybe people were thinking about a guy like Jalen Reagor. Okay, as the Bears continue to watch this, they're analyzing what's falling to them in the second round. There is a obvious vacancy at safety right now next to Eddie Jackson. Deion Bush could be that guy, but it might be somebody else, Mark Rohde.
Yeah, I mean, with HaHa Clinton Dix having vacated, there is a job opening there. Let's hear from Ryan Pace first.
A part of that decision was how we feel about the depth of that room. So when you talk about a guy like, you know, Deion Bush, DHC, we signed Lucas. I think some of those guys made us feel better about the decision and the depth we have there. And then also the talent of Eddie Jackson, boosting that whole position group as a whole. But we feel good about the young players we have there. Getting Deion re-signed was important for us.
Yeah, and DHC, of course, is DeAndre Houston Carson, mostly a special teams contributor. And it's not clear where Jordan Lucas fits in, another guy that came in this offseason as well. There are some interesting prospects at safety in this draft that may be there for the Bears. You never know. Grant Delpit out of LSU. Jeremy Chin from Southern Illinois has been comped to Harrison Smith. And then you have very interesting prospect in Kyle Duggar out of Lenoir Rhyne. And the player has not been drafted out of that school since the year 2000, Jeff.
You left my guy out, though. I'm still thinking about him. Tom's shaking his head. We'll talk about that when we come back. Minnesota on the clock. They get this pick from the Bills and the Stephon Diggs trade. Wouldn't it be interesting if they went for Diggs' brother here and put him at defensive back in Minnesota as we break down the NFL draft with Tom Thayer, David Haw, Dan Pompey, and Hub Arkish. I'm Jeff Joniak. The draft coverage on the Score brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Thanks, as always, here to our producer, Sean Anderson, doing a great job with Mike Rankin and Shane Reardon as well, safely tucked away at his home, observing the proceedings. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Mack and Parkins are helping you stay connected with Score Stories.
So we're bringing guests on from now through this quarantine.
Jim Deshays on Nolan Ryan.
I just know that the fanboy in me never left. Like, when it was Nolan's day to pitch, I was like a little 12-year-old kid who was going to the big leagues with his dad to watch a game. I mean, I was locked in.
Our pal, Ed Obradovich. We have this memory of Doug being this gigantic teddy bear. What was it that made him tick as an athlete?
One of the things, Danny, that I measure a football player by, do they play when they're hurt? You got to answer the bell every week. And Doug answered it year after year after year.
Score Stories, helping you stay connected from the Mack and Parkins Show. 2 to 6 on 670 The Score. Go to radio.com/stay connected.
When you're looking for a new or pre-owned travel trailer, fifth wheel, or motorhome, call Pontiac RV before you buy. Pontiac RV is Illinois' largest RV dealer. Our volume buying power and lower overhead means you'll save on major manufacturers like Coachmen, Keystone, Forest River, Tiffin Motorhomes, and more. With over 300 RVs in stock, see why people travel from all over the Midwest to Pontiac RV. Call or click PontiacRV.com.
Everything under the sun, Pontiac RV.
Entercom Chicago and Radio.com presents Chicago To Go, highlighting local businesses that are open right now, like Bucktown's legendary My Pie Pizza, home of the best deep dish on the planet, not to mention crisp, thin crust pies, too. Featuring the signature Aronson family recipe, My Pie is Chicago's favorite pizza. Order online for pickup or delivery today at MyPiePizza.com. Entercom and Radio.com's Chicago To Go program, providing free commercial messaging to local restaurants. Sign up at LoveLocalChicago.com.
At Blaine's Farm and Fleet, we have great prices every day. So during our big spring sale, you know the savings will be huge. Right now, save big on Scott's Turf Builder Weed and Feed. Just $45.99 after $10 mail-in rebate. Ortho Home Defense Insect Killer with ready-to-use wand, just $12.99. Plus, get a free bag of Ortho Bug Clear Lawn Insect Granules when you buy Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action. Contact store for details.
Find value at Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
Hi, I'm Rob, founder of Dearborn Denim. 6 weeks ago, COVID-19 was putting us out of business. My team quickly pivoted to manufacturing fabric masks once we realized the need. We began by supplying hospitals and nursing homes with our masks for the first 4 weeks. Now, we're offering our masks to the general public to help reduce the contagion rate of COVID-19 and to keep our small business going. If you need a mask, visit DearbornDenim.us.
Do you want to learn to speak a new language but don't have enough time? Then you need to try Babbel, the language learning app that you can try for free right now at Babbel.com. Babbel's lessons are just 15 minutes or less, and you can go at your own pace. You'll be amazed at how easy Babbel makes it. Start your first lesson in the language of your choice for free. Just download the Babbel app or go to Babbel.com now. That's Babbel.com.
You may be staying in, but the Taco Bell food you love is on its way. Taco Bell is still delivering, so you can get all your favorite crunchy, spicy, cheesy Taco Bell items delivered to you in the comfort and convenience of your home. And now for a limited time, you can get free delivery on all Taco Bell orders of $12 or more, only on Grubhub. So when you're craving, Taco Bell's delivering. At participating Taco Bell locations, $12 before tax, tip, and fees. Visit TacoBell.com/delivery to check delivery availability. Additional terms apply.
Tried contacting your bank lately? Tired of trying to contact your bank lately? Call or email Lakeside Bank. At Lakeside, you'll have your own personal banker. Your money is personal. Your banker should be too. Lakeside Bank. It's about time.
As Chicago works from home, the Score is there for you.
Thank you guys so much for what you do. The Score, I'm a loyal listener to these tough times. It's a relief to know I can turn you guys on my dial and have you be here.
We have the Score to get us through this. Thanks for being out there. You guys are a breath of fresh air. The whole Score team makes it a lot easier, so I applaud you for it.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, we are Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago.
The Score!
The top of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Athletics. The Wildcats would like to thank all those working throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, including healthcare professionals. Thank you for helping keep us safe.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.